Welcome, one and all, to episode 409 of Signals from Mars. I'm your host, Victor, and here we bring you an hour one music discussion. Haven't done one of these in a long time. For those of you new to the show, this is just me with a bunch of different patrons just shooting the shit, basically, about current hard rock and metal topics. Hope you guys enjoy.
I'm ready.
Let's do it!
All right, I want to send the shout out to my patrons for their support. Let's go oldest to newest here. We have Stephen Saylor, Stephen Hoker, Jeremy Weltman, Mike Jones, Brad Dahl, who appears on this episode, Gabriel Ruiz, Chris Vaglio, Jose Ruiz, Metal Dan, who's also on this episode, Johan Edistrom, Ed Ferguson, Anthony Mackey, who you can hear during the episode, Tony Espin, Chris Sinzak of Decibel Geek Podcast, Sean Richmond, and Pascal Schumacher. Chris Sinzak, who I actually recorded an episode of Hooligan Nation with yesterday, so be on the lookout for that. In any event, if you want to become a patron, you could do so for as little as $2 a month. You get daily music posts, so for people that are wondering about what cool new music is out there, I post new videos every day. I try to post at least two a day so that you have plenty of content to look at and hear and check out and hopefully lighten your wallet with to help support these bands. You could do so for as little as $2 a month, like I said, or depending on the tier, there's different levels of merch that you can receive if you become a patron. You can also support the show by going to signalsfrommars.com. There is a support tab at the top, in the menu. And from there, you can go to the support page, which you have a various number of different ways you could support, whether it's a, PayPal donation, whether it's a buy-me-a-coffee/pizza, whether it's using one of our Amazon affiliate links to purchase something on Amazon. There's a bunch of different ways that you can support the show. In any event, signalsfrommars.com is your one-stop shopping place to find out all the latest news, all the latest episodes and different things that are going on with the show. You can catch up on old episodes of the podcast or watch the video version of this episode, for example. Yeah, so this episode, like I said, we talk about a bunch of different topics that are in the news lately. I love having these discussions. They're therapeutic. I've had a professional tell me so as well. We'll leave it at that. But it's cool to catch up with you guys, and there are regulars that are in the chat as well. You don't have to be a patron. You can join us in the chat when we record these episodes live and chime in. And we've got some great people that do so on an almost weekly basis. We're streaming to a bunch of different platforms that we haven't in the past, like Rumble and TikTok. And we'll see how that goes. See if it helps bring more people in. Yeah, it's cool that all these years later, since 2009, I'm still doing this. People seem to still enjoy it, and people seem to still want to hang out and listen to my ramblings all these years later. I get pretty animated during this episode, not going to lie to you guys. But it was fun. It was fun talking to everyone. Tonight, we're going to be doing an episode for our Hall of Fame where people have voted on bands that they would include in their own Hall of Fame if they were to start one, basically, it's the first time that we're doing this. I figure that instead of letting the trolls that are the official Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, let's just do our own. Let's just vote for no other reason at all. Just the fact that we love bands, we love music, and we want to talk about them. How about that? How about that being the reason and not just, oh, well, let's see how we can rile people up on the internet. Let's see how, you know, we can take advantage of this. Yeah, I want to take advantage of having a cool discussion about music. So anyway, thanks for listening. If you voted, thank you for voting on that. If not, if you're listening to this and it is before noon Eastern, send me your votes. If you talk to me through social media, send me a message via social media, or send me an email, signalsfrommars@signalsfrommars. And that is it, folks. Let's get on with the episode. Welcome one and all to the March 14th edition of Signals from Mars. I'm your host, Victor. Joining me this week and is Metal Dan. And Anthony Mackie seems to have joined us as well. Anthony, we can't see you. No camera tonight. Okay, that's fine. Anthony, let me know if you're still going to be audibly participating in the episode or not. Okay.
That works. We can hear. Does that work?
Okay. Yeah, that works. That works. Okay, cool. So awesome. There's the three of us going, and who knows, maybe somebody else may join in. But we're back with a hour one music discussion. And just for those not familiar with the premise behind these hour one shows, it's just us riffing on different hot topic questions in hard rock and metal topics, however you want to look at it. But I came up with five different points to talk about tonight, and hopefully Dan and Anthony can help me out here, sort through some of this hard rock and metal. I was going to say nonsense, nuttiness, just topics. How about that? Let's leave it at that. Let's not offend anyone. So
there's no script here, and I don't know where this goes. So
yeah,
there don't know what's going to happen. Yeah.
All right. So the first topic of the night: new albums we're looking forward to hearing. We are already 3 months in. There's a lot of good music that's come out so far, and we've still got plenty to go for the rest of the year. There are all types of rumors and things about albums that are coming out this year. There are a few that I would, you know, really like to hear. Hopefully when they come out, I will be just as enthused about them once I actually hear them. But, Dan, any albums that you're looking forward to hearing this year, any new music?
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to the new Darkness album. Okay. I've heard a few cuts, and maybe some people I heard I might have a problem with the album. I shouldn't talk about that, but I like what I've heard so far, and I'm looking forward to it. One of the leaked songs didn't turn me on, but the other ones have me. So the new Darkness is one.
Okay. Any others?
Yeah, I've really been into an Anthrax mood lately, so I'm really hoping for the best. I kind of over-listen to them a lot, and then I'll pause again because I burn out, but I've been in that mood for Anthrax a lot lately. And then you just recently posted something about Volbeat, the song By a Monster's Hand. I was really surprised that I liked it, so now I'm looking for the new Volbeat too.
Yeah, cool. Anthony, any new music you're looking forward to?
No, Anthony.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, sorry.
There he is.
I was saying, I can't really think of anything off the top of my head. Also, the first one Dan mentioned there, Darkness. Yeah, three of the four release songs have been good, so that's not bad.
Yeah, I read that Doug Pinnick has said that he feels it's time for King's X to write something else.
Yeah, but I won't hold my breath for that.
Okay. Cool.
What a dysfunction they had with the last one. I don't see how they're interested in doing it again.
Yeah, you're right. Even though it turned out well, it was a job to come out.
Yeah. Okay.
So, what about you, Victor?
Yeah, I've got a few here. You mentioned the Anthrax, same thing. I'm interested in listening to that one. There's a few other thrash ones that are supposed to come out this year or maybe next year from what I've seen so far. There's Death Angel that's supposedly in the works, Testament. Armored Saint has started writing and recording stuff. Don't know how far along that is. I welcome that with open arms. But the one that's really piqued my interest, where I've heard a bunch of tracks, well, two tracks, to be fair. We've talked about it on Patreon, is the new Joe Holmes album, which the two tracks that I've heard so far I think are great. I'm really looking forward to that. And it's so interesting because I really like that Pharmakos album as well. So it's almost like he's releasing stuff once every like 5 or 6 years. And so long as the quality's there, I'm good with that. You know, I don't need to have a new album every year if it's just not going to be that good. So looks like Brad Dahl is also joining us here.
Hey guys.
Do you need a clap to sync this up now?
No, I'll do it in the editing. Don't worry. I'm used to it.
Fix it in the mix.
Fix it in the mix. There you go.
Sorry I'm late, guys.
Yeah,
but, well, hey, Metal Dan.
See that?
How awesome is that? I haven't seen you in a while. Good to see you, Dan.
Yeah, we've also got Anthony Mackie with us, audio only.
Oh, audio. Oh, he's okay.
Yeah. Hey, Anthony. There's no camera on this computer I'm using.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Brad, since
you're probably wishing there was no camera on mine.
then we couldn't see the great bucket hat.
You did this right here.
There you go.
Tell them where they can get this, Bob.
Yeah. Well, I've been fighting with them all week about orders not being fulfilled. So let's
Well, we shouldn't let people know about that. All orders are fulfilled, of course.
If they don't get their shit in gear, I'll be looking for merch provider number 4. So
oh no.
Yep.
No. I do have to say this. Maybe the service ain't that great, but the quality of the product is there. My T-shirt's fantastic. This hat, I get more compliments about this hat than any other hat that I wear.
Well, it shouldn't take 2 months to get a T-shirt to someone. That's all I'm going to say.
That's true.
So, that is very true. All right. So, Brad, any new albums you're looking forward to hearing?
Ooh, wow. Yeah, that's an excellent question. I heard you talking about some people who are working on new stuff. What you talked about Joe Holmes, I'm very excited to hear what he's got cooking. The only other one that's really on my radar right now is Ghost, and I'm kind of interested in that. The one song I've heard, it's Ghost, you know. But it was a really light on the keyboards. At least I don't know if it was just the mix on that one or whatever, but it didn't have the, you know, the grandiose ghostness going on. So yeah. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with a stripped back Ghost.
Maybe the keyboards are in the same frequencies as Queensryche cymbals from Operation Mindcrime.
It wasn't. No, there were lots of cymbals there, man. Peter Collins, he never went south on the cymbals. It was the Ozzy album. It was the Scorpions album. Great White. There was a lot of them there where the cymbals just were hiding. I don't know. I think it was just like a production thing in the day where it's like, yeah, let's try to keep it. Or they were using drum machines and they didn't want to mix in, you know, the fake hi-hat stuff.
Who knows?
It's like, yeah, that didn't sound that good.
Well, they're doing that now with everything. Just ask Anthony about all the great double bass throughout songs.
Wow. Yeah, I know it's funny. When we did some of our recording back in the 80s, it was probably around 86. But, well, you know, kind of the same time-ish. They were using samples for the drum sounds, for the toms and the kick and the snare. And so our drummer would play that, you know, with a Simmons kit. And then we go back afterward and add actual cymbals. And it was pretty funny because he would sit there with no drums, sit there on a drum stool with a hi-hat and cymbals and play along with the song. It came out really cool. But so, yeah. Interesting stuff. We did weird things in the 80s.
I think Slayer's probably the most famous band to do that.
Oh, they did that, didn't they?
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was, what year was that?
That was
86.
See?
Say was about it that same. Far along? It was the Maybe. First?
It was their first album.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay.
So I think it might have been earlier than that.
Yeah. Might have been.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Well, we did that on the last recording that we did. We recorded the drums and cymbals separately.
Oh, wow.
Just to help with the mix.
Yeah. Here, I thought we invented that.
No, that's a trick.
Yeah, 83. Show No Mercy.
Okay, so they did it before we did. Darn.
That.
Oh well. I set a bunch of other trends in the 80s, but maybe not that one.
There you go. All right. So let's move on to the second topic here. Been checking out what shows might be available when we hit the States this year. And there's a few. There's some package deals. There's which the package deal, the only bands that I've really listened to a fairly decent amount are Killswitch Engage and Parkway Drive. I think I Prevail is on that as well, but I've listened to them sparingly. Offspring is coming around with Jimmy Eat World and Newfound Glory, I think it is. Volbeat with Hailstorm. Volbeat will also be here in October, but with Bush, actually. So I'm trying to think. There's a third show that I looked at, and I just don't remember right now. But anyway... Dan, any shows that you're looking forward to checking out?
Yeah, so a couple things. So tickets went on sale today for Shanker with Armored Saint opening.
Okay, yeah.
And I got in late to look, and by the time I got there, the show that I wanted to go in Anaheim, it's nearly already sold out. And I was looking at they did it by sections. They're doing it by seats. The venue can be standing room. Looks like they're doing seats. They want $400 for one ticket up front. For
no
one
way.
Way. I That's was insane. Yeah, and in the back, they want $50 to $60 to $70 US. And of course I need my Armored Saint up close, and yeah, I get it. Michael Shanker, whatever. But I'm an Armored Saint fan. Call it what I am. So I wanted to see Armored Saint. So I don't know. Hopefully I'll get another chance. Looks like so far I'm skipping. They're playing a couple other venues.
Yeah.
I can try. I was surprised. I was shocked at the cost because this is a smallish venue, medium size-ish. And I don't know why the prices are so high. But anyways, that was interesting. But next month is Jackal.
Before you go on Jackal, is Armored Saint doing the whole tour with Michael?
No, it's only the California dates. One date in Texas and one in Arizona. So it's Anaheim, Agoura Hills, somewhere up in San Francisco. It's 4 or 5 dates in California.
Okay.
Two dates.
The Agoura Hills is a nice venue. It's small. It's going to be very intimate. It's a drive for me. That's way it's out there on the 101. But yeah, it's just a few dates that I'm happy that they're doing. Pretty cool.
I really like to see them. It's funny. Shelley was just showing me that, she got the ad, the Michael Schenker thing. She goes, you're going to go see this. It's like, well, you're not really coming anywhere near here. Denver is probably the closest. But I just got a notice from the place that I'm going to see Saxon a week from today, that they're playing there at the Tobin Arts Center in San Antonio. And they're selling the lower tickets, which would be up in the upper deck, would be $39, which that's not too bad.
Cool. Yeah, we were talking at the top of the hour that Armor Saint is probably releasing a new album this year. So hopefully there'll be more than just this. They're more active than ever, which is a great thing. So that kind of was weird. It is what it is. I just saw them twice last year, and they're playing with Wasp in Europe. So again, take your shot. When you take it, go see Armor Saint. I make the drive. I've driven all over just to see them. A Jackal. I happen to be I think Jeff Worley, the pirate, is a guitar god. I like watching him play. I know not everybody's got a taste for Jackal. My wife's not going, I got to solo it. But I dig it. Last time was in like 5 years ago, and I need about one show every 5 years, and I'm good. More than that, it's the same shit over and over.
Where are they playing at?
Where am I going to? Orange County, South Orange County. They're all over. There's a venue opened up in Fontana that's brand new. They're playing Vegas. They're playing Vamp. They're playing Arizona. So when they come out to the West Coast, they do it. And then they go back to the East and Texas and all the other stuff. They don't leave the U.S., it seems.
Well, they probably can't.
There's that too.
But I've never seen them, and based on your assessment, it's a band I should see.
They've got the basses have got a great tone.
The album, I like it every time I hear one of their songs.
Roman's got a thick, good tone. He's got a good attitude. It's a good band live. And then I'll get off this topic and pass it on to somebody else. End of the year is Weird Al.
I know a lot of people like Weird Al, and going and seeing him. I know he's got a killer band.
And this time he's bringing back the big show. This is back to return to the I'm Fat and all that kind of stuff. So this is the full thing back, because he took a break from that, and now this is back. So that's it, Weird Al.
That's pretty cool.
And is that going to be a summer tour or end of the year, you're saying?
Yeah, Weird Al's at the near the end of the year. He's doing a bunch of shows all over the U.S. Amazing. I've seen him, 5 times or so, and my wife laughs and she enjoys it. So it's a good date night. He's playing in the L.A. Forum, so that's a nice big venue.
Wow, that is.
He's playing the New York area right before we get there. We arrive on the 18th and he's playing the 12th at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, he'll sell that out.
Let's see. Where's the 12th? Well, he's in Bethel, New York, 13th, 17th.
It's a once in a lifetime at least. You should see Weird Al. It's amazing.
No, Philly would work. It's sold out.
So he's a great entertainer. It's a great show.
Sold out in Philly. Then the next show is Vienna, Virginia. Yeah. Raleigh, North Carolina. So essentially, if we want to see, because the day we get there, he's at the Foxwood Casino.
That's a good venue.
No way. Yeah, but after 8 hours of being on a plane, there's no way we're going to Damn Foxwood, which is another 3 hours away.
Yeah.
And even going down to Philadelphia is that's like 2 hours. So that sucks. I guess there's a wait list as well.
Yeah, tickets went on sale a year before the dates actually are fulfilled. So he lined it up. Anyways.
All right. Anthony, any shows you're looking forward to seeing?
Yeah, it's really busy gig-wise at the moment here.
Oh, wow.
Like, I've already got more tickets in the bag than I don't think I've ever had. The first of which is next Friday. Zealand Ardor are playing here. Okay. So going to see that. And then a lot of things that aren't really metal, so to speak, you know, like I've got tickets for Viagra Boys, Oni DeFranco, who else? We got Weezer, My Bloody Valentine.
Whoa.
But that's right up to the end of the year. But there's a lot of metal gigs happening here. Like even what you just mentioned, like Schenker's playing here, Wasp are playing here, and there's loads being announced all the time. Like I think I saw, who is it, like fucking Dark Angel are playing here.
Okay.
And there's another kind of, there's loads of metal happening here. It's a really busy year for concerts.
That's cool. The other show that I forgot that I couldn't think of before is Pantera and Amon Amarth is the other show.
Yeah, like Pantera were here a week ago. You know, actually 2 nights ago was also your son's favorite band, Limp Bizkit, were here. So like this gigs all the time here. I don't know how people are affording it because they're crazy expensive.
Expensive, yeah.
That was my question. What are? I mean, I'm sure all shows are different, but what about are you paying for a lot of these shows?
I just had a look here. Like I'm not going to go to see Wasp, but they're €43. Okay. Schenker, I looked, was €48. Smallish venue, like if you were excited about it, it would be a good gig. Yeah. But these bigger shows are just insane. You know, big controversy here with dynamic pricing and things like that.
So,
but like the things I choose to go to, like I think Weezer was 70 or something, you know. And Zealand Ardor, which I'm going to next week, was only like €30.
Yeah, Volbeat is 65, starting at 65 here. And in New Jersey, it was about the same, $67 for it's seated kind of middle of the amphitheater, like middle, I would say, is about 67.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess in that case, we got to pick either whether we want to see Bush or Hailstorm. I don't know.
I got to say, I don't think those ticket prices are that bad.
What's that, Anthony?
I was going to say, good luck choosing between Bush and Hailstorm, but I've got to pick and choose what I go to as well.
Absolutely. And the thing is for us too, you know, when I got to think about 4 tickets because it's me, my wife, my kids. So Pantera, the Pantera show, Offspring was like $300 something for the 4 of us. The other package with Killswitch was like $270, and Volbeat's going to be similar in price to that. So, you know, we usually pick one show because we can't afford to see absolutely everything because of the prices. But because, you know, we don't know when we're going back, we don't know what shows are going to be there. And last year, unfortunately, there really wasn't much. This year, there's a bunch to choose from. But there really isn't anything that, you know, that makes me want to go, oh, shit, I have to see that. You know, Shanker's playing close to where Steve Hoker lives. He's playing in Netcon, New Jersey, at an old theater there, which is like 20 minutes from where my folks live. Mm-hmm. But Armored Saint isn't at that show, and it's a seated – it's a really small venue. I don't think you can fit more than like 250, 300 people in that.
That's crazy.
That's kind of weird, but – maybe those are all going to be $400 tickets, like you're saying, Dan. So who knows? Brad, shows, we know you're going to see Saxon. What else you have lined up, and what other shows would you like to see?
Which, by the way, Dan will like this. Lizzie Borden is the first act in that Saxon show.
Good for them. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited to see them. I think they have a new album coming out. Or he has a new album coming out, but yeah, I know he hasn't played him out in a while, so it'll be interesting to see what his set list is like, and he probably won't play real long. And then Riot is the middle band, Riot V.
Good.
So I think that's gonna be pretty good. And I found out Riot is playing the day I arrive in Austin, so I think I might try to hit that one as well. I don't know who'll be on that bill. So, yeah, I'm going to have fun there. Good times in Texas. Blind in Texas.
Blind in Texas. There you go.
And then so the next possible thing, and I don't have tickets for this yet because I don't like buying tickets way ahead of time unless it's a reserved seat thing. And I'm like Dan. I like to get down in the front. I like to, you know, knock about with the boys. And but the next one is Gene Simmons in Utah next month. I think it's like the 10th. So that's not very far away. And so I really like to go see him and his band. The venue sucks though. And it's pretty big, but it's just a crappy venue. The sound in there is bad. It's because it's tall, but I'm still going to try to go. So hopefully
you could be his roadie if you want to. Dr. Poison, Dr. Love.
Yeah. The difference there is he'd have to pay me.
That made a lot of news. Like, that's a shocker because we know that bands do this, but they're not at that level. So right. For a band lower level to say you can roadie is kind of a fandom thing, you know, or, mm-hmm. or
yeah,
it's stupidly priced and it's, you shouldn't do it. What do you think about? Okay.
No, but then, here's the thing to that though. There's so many people going ape shit about that. There's people going ape shit about the whole $25,000 Strutter single. There's gonna be somebody out there that's gonna buy it. Oh. That's the reason that they release this stuff, is that there's gonna be somebody who's got millions of dollars, who's a fan that has no issue paying for it. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. The other day, I had this random post come up on Facebook, and somebody said, Def Leppard was so much bigger than Kiss in the 80s. Why is Kiss as I Was Made for Loving You over a billion streams, and the Def Leppard song that's been streamed the most, Pour Some Sugar on Me, only has like a million something or other. And somebody says, that's because, you know, the rights for 10 years, Def Leppard, much like Tool and Led Zeppelin and Taylor Swift, decided not to sign for digital rights and this and that and blah, blah, blah. And they were going on this whole thing. And I responded and nobody responded back. And I said, okay, so for all of you people that have been criticizing Kiss for being part of Scooby-Doo, for being part of Hello Kitty.
I want to be in Scooby-Doo.
For being in all these different things. They're marketing their music to younger people. So what that means is that you've got kids with phones streaming stuff that they've watched in a Scooby-Doo cartoon, and that stays in their playlist and they keep playing it. And I said, you people still think that the Kiss avatars are for you. They're not for 50 and 60 year old people. They're for kids that are 8, 9, 10 years old. It's to compete with Marvel stuff, keep the music alive. And when you realize that Def Leppard caps off at 1 million streams for Pour Some Sugar on Me, while I Was Made for Loving You, a song that I really don't like anyway, is at 2 billion streams. It's because they weren't marketing for the old guy that wasn't going to watch the cartoon. That's the guy that's going to buy that stupid $25,000 gold single. People still don't. I mean, it's just so idiotic to see people online bitching about, oh, well, you know, you're not marketing for me. You're right. And look at Def Leppard's market. Are people that are listening to Def Leppard, that are stuck on Hysteria and Pyromania, are they listening to that? And I'm talking about 80% of their audience. Are they listening to that on Spotify, or are they still using their CD to listen to that? Most people, and what they don't realize is that a lot of people our age, and even people younger than us, haven't jumped on streaming because they're faithful to that CD. You can't get them past an album that's come out in 1989, much the less ask them to get on streaming.
Yeah. If you haven't got it out of your system to do the meet and greets and do whatever, there's still people out there that'll do the Gene Simmons thing. Absolutely. Because it's an opportunity and you're like, screw it. I got the money. I'm going to burn it. I'm going to do it.
Yes. So. And that's the whole thing. For people, oh, you know, what kind of a dummy? Yeah, okay. So if you have the money to burn and you have the choice to meet someone in that circumstance and you idolize them or like their music, you just won the lottery. Hey, Gene Simmons is coming to town. I want to be his roadie. That's not that far-fetched.
No, not at all. No.
So for a slob like myself that doesn't have that kind of money. Sure. For me, I'm like, there's no way. I'm not going to do it. But if I'm not going to begrudge anyone who can economically pull it off.
And really has it in them that's they want to do. Absolutely.
That's it. You know,
go ahead. And by the way, Def Leppard's playing a casino. Now, they've been doing this these last couple of years in the U.S., these stadium tours with Journeys or whatever. Well, now they're playing a casino here in California. I'm not sure it's sold out yet, but have they already fallen down, starting to go back down?
Because they can't sell out. For as much as they want to tell you they're as big as ever, same with Motley Crue. Motley Crue, who all of a sudden Vince Neil has a mysterious ailment, ticketitis.
Sugar diabetes.
You know, I don't understand why these bands have to play with smoke and mirrors all the time. There are other bands. Oh, you know, we've canceled our European tour because it costs too much for us to tour. You were here 2 months ago. You're playing the same set list.
Yeah.
Who is now going to come back and pay another $60 to $80, euros, whatever it is, to see the same set list? So now the new excuse is, oh, you know, ever since COVID, the gas prices have gone up, so we can't afford to tour. No, people can't afford to see you three times a year. It's that simple.
All right. Okay, so Brad, so you're going to see Gene Simmons?
I really hope so. Yes. And then I got M3 the first weekend of May. Well done. Keeping us on track there, Dan. Here's the thing about M3, you know, the big, you know, Mark Striegel, I love him, but you know, he was really hyping this out before it was announced. Oh, you guys are going to be so surprised. And I was like, oh, I'm really excited now. And I'm telling you, David Lee Roth, I don't know that that's really that exciting. I'm going to find out. I hope I'm really wrong. And he puts on a great show and he sings well, and the band, I'm sure his band will be good. But I kind of feel like it'll be almost like when I saw Yngwie the last time there, it was like just a laugh fest. It was Spinal Tap.
Brad? So
we'll see.
Brad?
Yeah.
Boozy, boozy, baba.
Yeah, I hope he does that.
Just remember, he may not even bring a band. He may bring his collie out. He'll be wearing his soft tap shoes. He'll be sliding across the stage with the sword, with the flag at the end. Hopefully not. He won't nip his nose this time. But this is what I don't understand. All right. So Stephen Piercy is taking, and I'm sorry for hijacking this. Stephen Piercy is taking Warren DeMartini, Carlos Cavazzo. I forget if it's Jimmy Deander or...
Yeah, I think it's still the guy from Slaughter on drums.
Blas Alas.
Right. Okay. Yes, Blas. That's Blas.
Okay.
Who's great?
And it's, what's his name? The original bass player.
Matt Thor.
Okay. My idol. I used to idolize him. Go ahead.
Could David Lee Roth not get Steve Vai, Billy Sheehan, and Greg Bissonette together? The Edom and
Those guys would do it in a heartbeat. Those guys would be there. They would be there. This is the perfect gig to do that at.
Yes. How many tickets would they sell?
All of them. I'd be able to resell mine.
Even if Dave sucked, people would show up just to see those guys play with him again.
That was fucking amazing. Is they were minutes away from doing it at that bowling event thing, and they got shut down by the fire marshal. That's a great story, and you're absolutely right. That's what they should do. I wish
they do it. Those guys would do it in a heartbeat too. I know they all want to do it. So, but you're right. Then it would be like, holy crap, M3 just put themselves way the hell up there.
There you go.
Instead of like, oh my goodness, you know, Stephen Piercy and Warren DeMartini are playing together again. That's going to sell huge tickets, but it probably will. People will go nuts.
I mean, that's going to, I think it'll pull people in, and they've announced more shows since.
Yeah, I think they had to hold off on that because they wanted to. That was probably part of the deal with M3. It's like, we got to make this look like this is the only one you're doing.
Yeah. Now they've started announcing other stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because I think Steven has been saying that he wants to retire. So is this the end now then? So.
Well.
And this may be the closest.
I think he should.
Well, this may be the closest we see Rat getting back together again, unfortunately. So,
So Brad, you're good to go. So you're going to probably to M3, and you get to report back on that.
Yeah,
I hope so.
And okay, you so sneak down front, and you don't even have tickets for the front, and you sneak down the front because you told us all that you got the way. Don't tell me.
You know what though? Because I found out some other things about this. They're actually selling those seats now, so I don't know that I'll be able to pull the maneuvers like I did before. Yeah, things are changing with that M3 group. Let's see, what else have I got going on here?
Tell us.
Well, yeah. I know at the end of the summer, we're going to go see Toto in Salt Lake, and that's like going to be the most expensive concert ticket I've ever purchased because Shelly wants to sit down, you know, as close as she can. It's in a shed. And I can't remember what it was, but it was like, oh my gosh. Crazy.
You're spending more than Kansas for Toto?
Yeah, I think I could actually have Kansas come play at my house for what I'm paying for Toto to go see.
And at this case, you know, Toto's not in Kansas anymore.
That would be like the actual great bill, wouldn't it? Toto and Kansas together? Come on, guys. When have you thought of that? Let's see. I've never seen Billy Idol, and he's coming to Utah at the end of the summer as well. And so I'm going to kind of keep an eye on that. I'm not just going to jump out there and buy tickets yet. And they're expensive as well. It's the same venue, same outdoor venue. Dan, you've seen Billy? Probably back in the old days?
No, that's not in my area of concern.
Okay.
Fair enough.
All right. So that's kind of what I have on the docket for right now. And
okay.
I just remembered another one that has coming up. Melvin.
Oh, okay.
And they're playing with Red Cross.
Here. Oh, well.
With Red Cross?
So that's going to be.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't know they're still doing anything.
Yeah. And Steve McDonald is playing with Melvin's now as well.
Okay.
So he'll be double jobbing that night.
So you might be forced to listen to some Kiss music live because both bands cover Kiss.
That's right. let's hope not.
The question is, will you be able to identify any of those songs? It'll be interesting to hear Anthony come back to us and say, yeah, Red Cross played this really cool song, Detroit Rock City.
No, I'd recognize that one.
Yeah. All right, cool. So next topic here, a new documentary about Skid Row's Slave to the Grind. Interesting that we're getting this in 2025. Is this necessary at this point? I mean, this is something that probably would have been cool back in the day, but now, I mean, the producer certainly doesn't remember anything about this album because when he was on Decibel Geek and they wanted him to talk about it, he couldn't remember anything about it. Dan, does a Slave to the Grind documentary tickle your fancy?
None whatsoever. I did hear today that Maiden's releasing a 50th anniversary. Back to you.
Okay. Anthony, would you be in this one?
No, I'm not going to say none whatsoever, but I'm still going to say no. I think it would make a good YouTube video essay.
Yeah.
You know,
okay.
Yeah.
Which I would watch. But a full on documentary, I don't know.
Yeah, Brad?
I Skid Row is one of those bands. I've seen them a few times now. The best time I've seen them was with
Pantera.
Eric Grunwald when they were doing the warming up for Scorpions in Vegas at their residency. And I liked the new songs they were playing. And I've heard those old songs a lot. And I think you've kind of talked about this, Victor, where the being in New Jersey, they were kind of shoved down your throat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I kind of felt that way too, even though I was in California. And those songs just, for some reason, just don't hit me hard. They're just like, they're okay. I mean, it's not bad. It just doesn't like move me. And I've seen Sebastian. I'll be seeing him in M3. And I hope he doesn't play mostly, I'm sure he will play mostly Skid Row songs, but I'd like his solo stuff actually better. And he's actually he was pretty good last time I saw him in M3. I've seen videos of him on YouTube where he's just awful singing, but he sang really well, put on a good show. He was funny. He was endearing and it was pretty good. But the Skid Row boys the band is really good, really tight, sound great. As far as what you're talking about before Dan pulls the plug on me here. I don't care about the documentary.
So here's my question to you, Brad. Over under, how many stupid things does Sebastian say on stage on during M3?
I'm going to put the over under at 5.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll try to keep score. I'll put Shelly in charge of keeping score.
Okay.
Yeah, her version is stupid and mine, it might not be the same. Well, you guys, I swear to you, I was really expecting just to think it. He would be just awful and be a joke when I saw him there the last time. And I sat there and was like, damn, you know, he had a good band and he was really cool. He wasn't an asshole. He was really cool. He loved the crowd. He was just very gratuitous to the whole thing. And he sang really well. I was like, all right, cool. I'm giving Sebastian a big point there. Good job, Sebastian. Keep it up.
He must have found the shoes that actually fit that day and he wasn't cranky.
Yeah, not cranky. No.
I'm not a fan of Hailstorm, and I'm not a fan of Skid Row so much with what they've been doing. But when I saw the clip of Lizzie Hale being with Skid Row, it worked really well. Mm-hmm. And I'd be okay seeing that. She pulled that off, I thought, on a video too, not even live in person.
Yeah.
I was surprised.
They're a really good band. I mean, they play really well. I mean, yeah, it's just who will be singing, but yeah. But those old songs really just don't hit me. I don't get all ooh.
Yeah,
and especially you know the 18 in life and all that. It's like, oh god,
been there, you know? Done it.
Yeah. I mean, God bless them for having success, and good on those guys. They seem like decent dudes, so I'm glad. It's just for some reason it just doesn't hit me.
18th singer in life. They're Ronnie Romero. I'm telling you, any day now they're going to announce it.
We could spend a whole show talking about Ronnie Romero.
I'll end up posting this. I got a video of him covering Rainbow in the Dark, something everyone's been waiting for.
That's sarcasm, right? You just held up your time.
Good job, Dan. That is sarcasm.
Wait, Dan. Hold on.
Wait. Let's get it.
Yes. Okay. Well, I think he was either going for that or Yellow Submarine. You know. I don't know. All right.
Enough of the covers already. You know,
and if you're going to cover something, you know, for as much crap as Metallica gets for covering bands, for the most part, they're not covering the band's biggest song. The song we've already heard 800,000 million times on the radio. You know, instead of covering Highway Star or Space Trucking, if you're Ace Frehley.
Ace is going to be at M3
and he's releasing another covers album.
We'll see. We'll see if he's better than the last time he was there, where he obviously had a lot of cough syrup.
Yeah. It was cough syrup. He was, you know,
it was a lot of cough syrup. Yeah. That was like the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen at a live show, where, I mean, and M3, they just turn things, you know, they get spinning stage and they're turning bands over like that. But Ace, they got to come out and they do this huge sound check. And of course, no Ace out there, but all his boys, he's got the big crew. And it felt like it was an hour. And so they got everything right and they hit the stage and nothing was right. I mean, everything was, the sound was just awful. Yeah, it was a disaster. Everybody's like pointing at the soundboard, you know. And it was a freaking mess. I'm like, if you're going to do it, where 90% of the other bands walked on stage without a sound check. And they dialed them right in, man, and they sounded great.
They spent an hour just fucking up all the equipment.
Well,
they got out there.
Here's what I think it was. It's like, we can't go on till we wake Ace up. We got to wake him up first.
Yeah.
So stall, guys, stall. You know,
true.
Oh my goodness. Yep. Here's the thing with that. Ace has been, there are a bunch of guys that are known for being great musicians, great cover band, members of cover bands. If Ace can't sing one night, have one of the other guys sing.
Yeah.
Ace is known for being a lead guitarist, not being Bruce Dickinson.
But when I saw him before with the cop syrup, that was Richie Scarlett in the old band. He fired him
right after. Okay. So that makes sense. Yeah,
Richie, Richie Scarlett, bless his heart, man. He should not sing.
Richie with his Richie, who saw me walk into the Roseland in New York once, and he couldn't take his eyes off me. And I'm thinking,
well, who can blame?
What's going on here? And then I went up to him. I went up to him at a Kiss convention, and I'm like, yeah, I saw you at the Roseland. You know, you kept looking at me. I guess I must have reminded. I probably reminded you of somebody.
I can't remember. Yeah, my ex-wife.
Anyway, point number four. Sabotage will focus mostly on Zach Stevens' era of the band. Is this a smart move? Let's remember, Zach Stevens is fronting the band. That's one thing. But when he came into the band for Handful of Rain, how many Handful of Rain songs were they doing? Maybe 4, 5 max live? Everything else was John Oliva stuff. So the meat and potatoes of the band, that would, I don't know. Again, this is Brian Johnson saying he won't sing Bon Scott stuff, or Dickinson saying he won't sing Deano stuff. You know, yes, people know who you are. You were the second singer in the band. People are champing at the bit to see you, but they want to hear that John Oliva stuff. They want to hear Hall of the Mountain King, and they want to hear Gutter Ballet and all that classic stuff, because that's what got most people into the band. And as cool as Handful of Rain is and some of the other tracks with Zach on it, people are gonna want to hear both. How about that? So
yeah, I saw them back in the day when it was the Hall of the Mountain King era and all that before the tragedy happened, and the band died. It sucks, and it is what it is. There's nothing left. It's over. It's just reality.
The interesting thing though, what you just said, the band died, but they were smart enough to resurrect the band into a money-making machine, which is Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
Yeah. And that's not my gig to go to. It's right. I want Sabotage.
Yeah, so. No, I agree with you 100%, but how many bands have been able to kind of pull the, you know, the phoenix out of the ashes and do something completely different like that? Change the
name. Absolutely.
And
took it into a higher level than Sabotage could probably ever get with Sirens and all that shit back in the day that was heavy and new and not commercially successful at all, that would never get radio play. Absolutely. They took it to where they wanted to get to make a job, make a living.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yep.
I'm all for making money.
There you go. That you just want to become Gene Simmons' roadie. You're just admitting to it.
Yeah, he's, like I said, he's got to pay me. I want to make.
Anthony,
I would love to hang out with Gene and talk bass, though. I really would. Especially since I've been playing. Wow. I've been playing the first three Kiss albums for the past few weeks on bass, and I'm telling you, man, these people that not Kiss, not good songwriters and all that stuff. Hell no. Those are really cool songs and not super easy. Some of them are, but I mean, there's some really cool stuff in there. So, and the bass playing is fantastic. There you go.
There you go. Anthony, your thoughts on the whole Sabotage thing?
I have nothing to add on this. I don't know enough about them or their story, or I don't know anything about this.
All right, so last topic of the night. Rush is going to be releasing Rush 50 box set celebrating their 50th anniversary. So for me, there's two trains of thought with this. One, it's kind of cool. But at the same time, people take Kiss to task, Ozzy to task, Judas Priest to task, you know, about, oh, you've done all these re-releases. I think Maiden and Rush have done more re-releases than any other band ever. And no one ever calls them out for it. Because, and look, God bless them if people are still buying the stuff, but Rush has done this how many times? They just recently remixed and remastered, what, 4 or 5 albums within the last few years? I mean, I don't know. That I don't get why some bands get called to task for, oh, there's another greatest hits album or another live album. And then yet, hey, let me give you, you know, another variation of Permanent Waves. Because on this iteration of the album, Peter Collins turned the knob up 0.2 of a degree more than the last release of the album. So it's been remastered for 2025. You know, this is superior to the 2023 version.
Sounds like it's not needed.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
knowing Rush, though, that's one thing, is they usually don't put crap out there. They usually give you something of quality. And let's face it, Rush fans, a lot of them have jobs and have made money.
And
they'll be more than happy to buy this stuff over and over again. And bless their hearts, man. I go for it. I don't have a problem with them doing this. And as far as people taking them to task, yeah, you know, there's the trolls out there. They've got their targets, and they're just, you know, yeah. There you go.
All right, Anthony, your thoughts?
Yeah. Oh well, I kind of have no thoughts on this. Like, reissues happen all the time, and they just go by me. I don't pay any attention to what. Like, even bands I really like have reissued stuff, and I just haven't bothered buying it. Because, like, you know, I have the album. Why do I want to buy it again?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've embraced the digital subscription thing, and I download what I need so I can listen offline and take it where I want to go. And so if they want to put stuff out there, I just go and download it. So I'm not going to purchase it anymore. It's only going to be, and we've had this discussion before, it's only going to be Anthrax, Armored Saint, Metallica, Maiden, Roxanne. Bands that either need my money to keep it going, and I feel like I keep giving them money, like Armored Saint with the meet and greets and whatever. And I told Joey, I'm here because I want you to keep going, man. He said, I appreciate it. Yeah. So if they want to put it out there, I'll just download it. For free,
yeah. Paying a subscription,
yeah.
I'm with you, Dan. So, yeah, that's I buy this stuff because I mean,
yeah, your local bands and stuff
support,
like that.
You got to support Dan. I mean, plus he's always helped Victor. You know, he's always been good to Victor. So I'll help anybody who's good to Victor. I'm gonna buy your stuff. And these dudes, they need some love. So,
but. You know, you if you want to sell albums, though, I think you got to go back to the old days of the B-sides of Anthrax putting out that I'm the Man stuff and Metallica. And if you want, if you can make it, if you want to sell, you make it exclusive to the record. You don't put it on the subscription. And I, as a fan, love that shit.
Mm-hmm.
And when hunt it down, you know. Yep.
That's why I think the record store day stuff, when they first started doing it, made sense because they were doing that. They were releasing stuff exclusively on vinyl. You had to hunt the store down where it was available. And if you really wanted it, you picked it up. Now, of course, the record store where I'm ordering most of my stuff, they were smart enough to send me the record store a list 2 months ago and said, hey, this is coming out in April. Anything that maybe of your interest so that we make sure we ordered ahead of time?
Hell yeah.
Yeah. There's some stuff I'll pick up. So, but yeah,
I'm also kind of at the age now where I don't want any more stuff. Yeah. Like, I've got all the records I bought in my whole life still.
Cool.
And I've carried them from here to there. I've got probably 1,000 CDs down there. You know,
yeah.
Even bands that I really like, I haven't necessarily bought their latest stuff because I just still want more things. Maybe it's the age.
It's fine.
We're at.
As we talked about at the beginning of the hour, it's normal. You're with all of us the same.
No, I'm saying this when I look at Victor there, surrounded by things, and I hope you don't think I'm
crazy. No. I have the CD, and I go, where am I going to put this one now? Where do I file this? And I got the other ones with the under the bed or the under the closet. Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Having said that, I did buy a couple of records recently, and we're considering upgrading the record player, so which will only lead to more
to fix.
Yeah.
I know, Anthony. There's a lot of people like that. You know, with streaming becoming a thing, that I know there's a lot of people that have jumped away from collecting things and owning it and saying, you know what, I'm already paying for this service. Why do I need to have this around? This, you know, I can get rid of this and have more space for something else, you know? So I get it.
Like I do find I bought a lot of things on, say, like Bandcamp, for example.
You right.
know? Like, I'd buy somebody's album on Bandcamp to support them. I'd probably never play it. I will then stream it. But I bought the album, the digital album. It's kind of best of both worlds.
Yep. There's an album right over here that's from a local band. Had the guitarist and vocalist come to my house and hand deliver it to me, and I paid him for it. And he said, oh, have you listened to the vinyl? What's the quality like? And I told him after the fact, I'm like, well, my turntable kind of sucks, but the digital version on Bandcamp sounded pretty good. So, understand 100%.
So that's where I am with reissues.
Yeah. No, that's fine. I mean, for me, for example, I have the Fastway album, which was just reissued, and I had that sent to me from Ireland. There's this one Irish store that every so often has certain reissues that other places don't have. And since vinyl has just become so expensive now, it has to really jump out at me for me to pick it up. You know, a few years ago it was different, or it was like, oh, you know, I'll just get all of these. But now, I mean, when you're looking at like $40 per vinyl, and I mentioned this already, I bought Injustice for All on vinyl at Walmart for $26, and it costs 59 euros here.
Ooh.
The Somewhere in Time reissue that they just had was between 60 to 70 euros here. Walmart was selling it this summer for $26-$29. I ordered it online and had it shipped to my folks' house. You know, I'm not going to spend that much money. And I know that there are people that are like, oh, you know, how can you buy from Walmart? How can you support it? Well,
it's my money. It's my money and how I need to spend it.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, I'm not going to spend.
I'm a consumer. Yeah.
$70 for Somewhere in Time reissue. I'm sorry. It's a yellow vinyl and a poster. It should not be 70 euros.
Yep. That's true, man.
So, My question now is, how many people are going to start jumping on like Edgar Winterson around the next few minutes saying, wait, the show's yeah. over. What's going on? Check your messages, folks. But anyway, guys, I want to thank Metal Dan, Anthony Mackey, Brad Dolph.
We're not doing any other business.
What's that, Anthony?
We're not doing any other business.
No, that's it. We're done. No more business. Okay. Why? Is there? What other business do you need? Do you want?
Well, I thought the biggest sort of rock metal story of the week was the big Tool fiasco.
I don't know about this. Tell us. Okay. Tell us about this. Okay.
So let's do that.
You know their festival they did in I can't remember where
Dominican Republic,
a 2-day festival. Yeah, that's right. And then they ended up playing 4 songs the same each night, so, which for a gig where you had to go both nights. And for a band like Tool, you know, those aren't short songs. I'd say that's very disappointing. Now, you know, whatever, it doesn't bother me. I'm not that into them, but I could see how it would be very annoying.
I'm not familiar. They played go.
There's a class action lawsuit as a result because they're known for switching up, not playing the same songs on consecutive nights. So to Anthony's point, you flew down to the Dominican Republic to see a 2-day festival because you had to get both days, and they repeated 4 songs both nights.
They played the same songs both nights?
Just 4 of them, but as Anthony's saying, those 4 songs could actually be a 90-minute set, you know. But
and they played the second night of the set of the festival. They played 4 of them in a row. Like, could you imagine?
But it's the weirdest part about all of this. Yes, I get that people are upset because of that. But have they not been paying attention to what 90% of all the bands out there have been doing for the last 60 years and just playing the same set list night after night? I get that Tool has always mixed it up.
Yeah, but this is different. This is totally different. It's like Metallica doing their 2-night weekends. And imagine they came out and played half the set.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Metallica wouldn't do that.
Then again, much to their credit, which a lot of people like to crap on them, they made a point to do that with the 72 Seasons tour. Is that if you were getting tickets for both night, you were seeing 2 completely different set lists. They weren't repeating any songs.
That's fantastic.
Yeah,
it's incredible.
Yeah.
Good on them. Yeah. No, that sounds like bad form for Tool. And, but, what were they thinking?
Anthony, what did you think of the whole Mastodon thing?
Oh,
I thought you were into them. My bad.
Me too.
No. I do. I have time for them, but I'm not a crazy fan. And I was very surprised. Yeah.
What happened with them? They split up.
One of their members left.
Yeah.
They parted ways. They say it's amicable, but it's. I mean, if you look at it, it's kind of a big deal. They kept the same lineup together for 25 years.
Yeah.
You know, you think about. You know, a lot of people say, well, Aerosmith has been... No, well, Aerosmith actually took a break. 2 guys left. They haven't had Joey Kramer for quite a long time now as well. There aren't many bands that have had the same 4 guys for 25 years.
Yeah, they seemed kind of inseparable.
Yeah, I think he was kind of the odd guy in the sense that the other three guys are like huge metalheads, and he's always been like the resistant one that didn't want to be like grouped in with metal bands and stuff like that. But you're not exactly releasing opera music, you know. You're opening for Metallica and Iron Maiden, and you know, I don't get the reluctantness that you're playing heavy music, yet you go out and say, "Well, I'm not a fan of heavy metal." Well, why are you playing a detuned, heavily distorted guitar and you're doing guttural vocals? That isn't exactly like, I mean, I don't know what. I don't know if his solo music is more in the vein of, I mean, it's weird. It's a mix of like country and Hawaiian music and stuff like that. But I mean, I don't know.
Okay. I didn't know that about them.
Yeah. That's one of the knocks that they have is that they started out like really heavy. And they've said on a few occasions, like Thin Lizzy is one of their biggest inspirations, AC/DC, Kiss, bands like that. And they've always said, you know, hey, as time goes by, we're going to get closer to sounding to these bands more so than getting heavy again. So
I got to give them this. And to me, they have their own sound. I mean, when I hear them, you know, it's them.
Yeah.
So I got to give them that, because that's hard to do in music and be successful.
Yeah. And multiple singers within the band, they don't, although they have guttural vocals, they also have like other vocal styles as well. So, I mean, they've mixed it up. They've had progressive stuff. They've had stuff that's more, I don't want to say mainstream, but more like hard rockish to an extent, more like almost 70s rock, I guess. So
you're not going to find yourself in the shower singing a.
I've sung Mastodon all over the place. I've even sung Mastodon in concert. For sexy time. I've even sung them in concert. So
all right.
So yeah, Mr. Borat. All right. Any other topics you guys want to bring up before I rudely cut people off again?
Sorry.
Yeah. It slipped my mind. I'm sorry.
No.
I just want to say that the next time I do anything recording wise or that, I want Dan involved as a producer, because he knows how to get things done. He'll keep us on point.
There you go. He's
well, I just thought of something. What about this new Metallica Apple film that's coming out?
Yeah,
it's shot on the Vision Pro, or some, you know, for the Vision Pro.
Yeah, so it's going to be an AR movie, alternate reality movie.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Well, it's only 25 minutes long. It's like a I don't know who's using who in this case, whether it's Apple using Metallica to sell Vision Pros or
No, it's Apple. I read it was 100% Apple. They approached Metallica to do it, and see, this is where, again, we talk about older fans with disposable income. I don't know of too many Swifties that are, you know, they could get every copy of vinyl of whatever reissue that she's doing is a lot cheaper than getting somebody to fork over a $3,000 Vision Pro, you know?
Wow.
Yeah. So it's,
that said, I would love to see it on one.
And That's the thing. I think you'll be able to see it like on your phone or an iPad, and you're theoretically able to see the alternate reality, almost like a hologram in 3D over the screen, over your phone or tablet screen, but it's not the same as the Vision Pro, obviously. I think a lot of the alternate reality glasses and all that stuff that they're working on sounds neat in theory. It's just that price tag is just way out there for me to say, you know what? I'm just going to spend $3,000 just to see this cool concert. You know, as cool as it is, again, I have to win the lottery to do that. You know, it's one of those things.
It'd be nice to, like, you know, be able to rent one for a night and watch a Metallica thing.
That's got to be a thing, doesn't it? I mean, there's got to be somebody who's doing something like that.
Yeah, it must be.
The problem there, too, you look at the other glasses, though, like the Meta glasses or there's others. I don't remember all the names, but there's a few others that are been around for longer and more popular than the Apple one. I mean, they're still $300, $400, $500, depending on the resolution and the other just different accoutrements that it comes with. That's still a lot, you know? So I don't know. I
buy a car,
right? That's a thing. So
that's it.
We'll have to figure it out. We'll have to do a search renting. How many people will end up going to an Apple store just to check it out?
There we go.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. Let's do that. Let's all go together.
Cool. So, all right. This time for real, folks. No cutting anyone off. No, nothing. We're done. We're spent. Thank you, Metal Dan. Thank you, Brad. Thank you, Anthony Mackie. Thank you to the five people that were watching this live. And thank you to everyone who checks this out afterwards. And we'll see you next time right here on Signals from Mars. Folks, we will see you.
Thank you for listening to the Signals from Mars podcast. You can subscribe to the show on all your favorite podcast platforms like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon, and more. Go to signalsfrommars.com for more information. This concludes our show.